Don't sweat the technique. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. What are your Astro overreactions that you really think are true? Brian said Altuve, top offensive year of his career. Blankers and I poo-pooed on that a little bit. What's your second one, Brian?
It was kind of piggybacking off some conversations we had in the offseason, and I think at one point, Jeremy, you had said something to the effect of you thought the Astros pitching staff, I don't remember if you said it could be the best in baseball or near the top. I don't remember the exact verbiage that you used. But I think from the early results, my overreaction is that that take by you months ago is correct. The Astros, who don't even have Verlander, you know, Luis Garcia or Keedy and Lance McCullers Jr., cross your fingers, back yet in their starting rotation, with what we've seen from Wendell Blanco, what we've seen through two starts with Javier and then Fromber in the bounce back in game two, they indeed have the best starting pitching staff in all of Major League Baseball.
That's something that I was on the table for at the start of the season, because now a lot of things have to go right there. The Verlander injury kind of throws a wrench into that, but getting Fromber back to first half of last season, your prior Fromber, where he's a top five Cy Young guy, you know, he's an anchor of the staff. He's an anchor of your rotation. Javier has to revert back to 2 years ago. He's kind of looked like that so far. Hunter Brown has to take another year of development. Now, what's been the surprise is, Wendell Blanco, it's only been one start, so it's hard to like go crazy after one start, but in that one start, he threw a no-hitter. And then J.P. France was solid in his as well, and you're getting reinforcements back. So I've been way more bullish about the Astros starting rotation going into the season than almost everybody, so it's hard for me to back down on that, I would agree.
Yeah, I'm concerned about the sustainability of J.P. France and Blanco and, you know, kind of treading water and keep doing at a high level and before you get other guys back that could possibly be in the mix. So I don't think that they're going to have the best starting pitching in baseball, but I think it was MLB.com that first came out and didn't have the Astros even close to whatever top five, top 10. I think that they're capable because of all the guys you can pick and choose from too. And if injuries happen that a lot of teams don't have, I think they're capable of top five in the league. I don't think they're going to have the top staff in baseball.
Yeah, it'll be fun to play out. Now, the thing with France and Blanco, it's like, okay, well, those guys could be replaceable at some point because you have, again, four starters. I would only say that three of them are way better than France and Blanco, though. Like Verlander, you expect to be better than them. Luis Garcia, I think, is better than them. Lance McCullers, huge if, better than them. Now, Urquidy, I think, is one of them. Like, in terms of caliber of pitcher, where they're at in terms of tiers, I would say Urquidy's in the France Blanco tier. I don't think Urquidy is better than either one of those guys, but the other three, I would say, are better than France and Blanco.
Yeah, and I think that from the standpoint of France caught a lot of the league by storm last year. A lot of people didn't see him a whole lot. Now, there's more frequency in the pack. People have seen him. People have seen Blanco. They haven't seen him as much. But I think you're right. I don't believe that Urquidy, his stuff currently with where he is in his career, I don't think that he's that kind of guy. I think the guys that you have that can kind of interchangeably be the reason why you get to that point is because you have JV, you have Fromber, you have Javier right there at the top no matter what, so that no matter who you pick for four and five and sometimes six, you know, I think those guys are capable of, like, again, doing their job. Brown's the guy that has the highest upside to me.
Yeah, I think everybody has holes, though. I think every pitching rotation has holes. Maybe some other teams aren't as big as the Astros. 4.958, Adley's the best offensive catcher in baseball. Let's take a deeper dive into that. Yiner Diaz has had 415 plate appearances in his career so far, which not huge. Adley Rutschman is just over 1,000. So Adley's had more at-bats. Now, you could say, well, it's helped him a little bit more because with more at-bats, you're going to put up better numbers. Adley Rutschman in his offensive, you know, 182, whatever it is, plate appearances, he's got an OPS of 809. Yiner's at 865. Like, that's not even really that close. Yiner's OPS is far better than Adley. If you just take their 162-game average of home runs, Yiner's at 35 and Adley Rutschman's at 20. Yeah, Yadier Diaz could just be better than Adley Rutschman offensively.
And that's a great thing for you, but you know, at the same time, it's just all you're waiting on to solidify that is just getting enough games under his belt, because he keeps amazing everybody. That the fact that now playing, obviously coming into the season, playing every day, is that going to change things? Is he going to fall off? Evidently not so far to this point. He looks like he's just a damn good hitter that's going to continue to hit for both power and the average, that is a little bit surprising to me, but obviously he's going to cool off. But I think by the end of the season, he might have people talking about him the way they were talking about Rutschman when he came into the league.
9.648, Urquidy's arms are too short to be good.
Okay.
I think that there's something to that. You get more extension, you're closer to the plate, the velo is a little bit, has a little more zip on it.
I don't think there's as much to it, just simply because if you can spin it and you can control it, even if you don't have an overpowering fastball per se, or it's not as deceptive, you can still be effective.
He does throw funny though. Like he kind of like it's not really a shot put, but it's like quick release.
It's kind of a snapback. It's almost like a shot put. Like he gets to the point of release, and instead of like swinging his arm all the way down and through to follow through, he does kind of stop it there.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Jeremy Pena will finish top 10 for MVP.
No.
That's too high.
Yeah.
That's too high. What would a Pena top 10 MVP season have to look like, and what's actually within reach? I think you'd have to hit 280. I think you would
20?
Have to hit 25 home runs.
20 to 25, yeah.
And then play gold glove level defense.
Yeah.
I think that's what it would take.
What'd you say the average?
270, 275.
I think it might have to be higher. Top 10, yeah.
Top 10.
Yeah, top 10.
Not winning it.
Ain't competing for it. So, yeah, that's probably fair.
The thing that would help him is that he's a shortstop, and if he plays it at a gold glove level, that helps your whole war thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, shortstops, you play really good defense. You can rack up war numbers, kind of game the system there a little bit. 8-3-8-1, overreaction that may be true. Astros stink at home again this year.
Well, so far there's nothing to argue with it based on how they played at home, but the Toronto series gave you hope that they had some big offensive outbursts against the Blue Jays, so hopefully that they're figuring things out with the batter's eye. I just think that it's just such a weird, fluky thing to have happen that I can't believe it's going to happen 2 years in a row.
Yeah, there's a lot of games, though, where they haven't been good. Like, it's a long stretch of time where they've been pretty poor at home. And then just adding the paint to the batter's eye, too, it's kind of like an admission of guilt. Like, okay, we know that they're bothered by it a little bit. Let's see if we can help them. Didn't really help them a whole lot, and they didn't add anything to it last year. 1-2-6-4, honestly, I'm kind of worried about them hitting with runners in scoring position. Am I overreacting?
No, I think there's some concern early on, and a lot of it's Bregman isn't Bregman, and you don't know when or if he's going to be. Even after talking to Todd Callis, I don't feel more confident in that Bregman's going to figure it all out like he has in the past. Yeah, to me, look, I look at it, I have more concern about runners in scoring position than I do about the batter's eye and the home games, because I look at the homestand saying the only game that was a clunker was the game where the base running errors cost you because you lost a 1-0 game, but they were putting some crooked numbers up and they can hit. In terms of runners in scoring position, Bregman concerns me, Abreu concerns me, those kind of things concern me to where, early on, that's definitely been something I've had my eye on.
I'm more concerned about the batter's eye than the runners in scoring position. That stuff to me evens itself out over the course of a season. Plus, they have good offensive players. Bregman has struggled. Bregman's a notorious slow starter, which leads to 1.953. Bregman is washed up. Hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I don't think he's washed up. I just don't think him betting on himself right now looks very good. I think that as you've been on to the weight, the added weight ain't doing what it was supposed to do. I think that he's probably pressing more because he knows he's playing for betting on himself, playing for money.
I don't know if he's betting on himself, though. Like, he hadn't turned down a contract.
No, but I think that he wants to hit the open market coming off a really good season to prove that, to get that kind of big bag, to get that kind of high value money and years that I had doubted before whether he was going to get it, regardless of what Chapman signed for or not. And when I look at it and what he's doing this year, I think he could actually hurt himself by doing what he did to quote-unquote bet on himself for this one season.
Yeah, I mean, usually bet on yourself, you're turning down like a shorter-term contract looking for the bigger money. Like, in terms of hurting his value, that exists. I've always thought the value was super overstated, though. I don't think Bregman's nearly the player that he used to be back in late 2010s. really, he's been kind of consistent with being this guy since the COVID year. Mm-hmm. Now, notorious slow starter. Like, he's had worse starts than this over seven games. So, like, that doesn't really concern me. I think Bregman's just a solid player these days that's really good defensive at third base. I don't think that, you know, he's this Alex Bregman that's going to be a top five MVP guy ever again. I think people still kind of have that thought in their mind that he is that guy, and he's not. And he hasn't
been. Rosenthal, too. I mean, when you hear a guy like King Rosenthal go, he's going to get his money at the end of the year. I mean, you take all these things into defense into consideration, all these other things, he's going to get paid. I'm like, I don't know that he is. I think that he might be in for a rude awakening in terms of what he's chasing versus what he's going to be offered.
I think this is one of those tales where the national types don't follow it as closely and don't know nearly as much. Because Bregman has been this guy for the last 4 years.
I think the bigger problem, though, Jeremy,
OPS guy.
Even when he's been that guy, his eye at the plate and his patience at the plate have been at a very high level. And right now, I'm sure there's plenty of time left in the season, but right now, if he's pressing at all, he's got to get back to having that, because that's a huge advantage that I think is going to hurt him if it doesn't change.
Yeah, I think it's too early to talk like that. Like, he's still drawing his walks. He's walked four times in seven games. He's still giving you the exact same at-bats that he normally gives you. It's just that when he makes contact, it's weak pop flies right now, which, again, he's a notorious slow starter. 713-780-ESPN 8437. If Bregman underwhelms this year, would you resign him? If so, what would you be willing to give him? Yeah, I would be open to re-signing Alex Bregman. I know it sounds like I'm crushing the guy, but if he plays himself back to your price range, absolutely, I'd be interested in that. If I would give him a Matt Chapman deal right now, and he would never take it. Matt Chapman got 54 for three, $18 million per year. I would do that with Bregman right now. I would go. I think we talked about this in the offseason. Mm-hmm. I said I was willing to go to $20 million a year for 4 years. I would give him 80 for four right now. So that would be something that I'm considering throughout this season.
Yeah, I look at it right now and say, as the question came up, I could give him on a short-term deal 20 a year. Maybe some of that is because of what he's already done here and keeping him around, but also because I think as the values on contracts go up too, yeah, if I can get him in that $20 million a year range, I'm willing to pay that for a guy that keeps this run going, especially what he brings to the team leadership defensively.
3667, Bregman watches more strikes straight down the middle than anyone I've seen. He does that. Yordan does that too, though.
Yordan had that one at-bat where it didn't come off his shoulder, and he looked at three straight.
Yeah, it's weird how the best hitters can sometimes – it's because they're looking for something. They're looking for something, and they don't get it, they're just not going to swing. 713-780-3776. If you had to buy season tickets to one Houston sports team moving forward, which one are you committing to? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, right now, a moment for Vanderford Air, because Vanderford Air are locally owned and operated company that cares about you as Houstonians. That means they understand what you're dealing with. Look, we know that those triple-digit days are around the corner, and they're closer than you may want to think about. But you should start thinking about them now. Is your HVAC and air conditioning unit going to be up to snuff? Is your plumbing on a daily basis exactly what you need it to be? Whether it's repiping or things with your plumbing, or just being concerned about the fact that your AC units might be getting up there, they need to be checked. And if something goes wrong, you need to have a company you can trust that guarantees their work. That's why you go to Vanderford Air, because Vanderford Air is focused on you. First, right off the top, you call them within 24 hours, they're going to be at your place. A lot of these places, when they're getting just inundated with requests because it's so hot outside, say, we'll be there in a couple days. We might be there next week. And you got to sit there and endure the heat and all that goes with it while you're trying to find another company that might be there sooner. Vanderford's going to tell you right off the top, call us within 24 hours, we'll be there. So that's a win. But then let's talk about all the other things that give you the guarantee you need. 100% money-back guarantee is the biggest, the best, and everything that we're talking about. You have to be satisfied or 100% of your money is returned to you. The performance guarantee, that the parts that they use and or the replacement pieces that they put in units are going to be factory standard, operating exactly where you want them to be. Quality workmanship guarantee. Everybody does the work is going to be doing work that you approve of, that you like, that you are pleased with, or your money back. Comfort assurance guarantee. It's going to get the exact temperature, work to the standards that is actually the way the parts or the machinery was built for, and the best value at the lowest cost to you. What else can you ask for? That's a company that has your back and is going to keep you cool when you need it most. VanderfordAir.com or call them. It's simple. Remember the number, 281-557-COOL, 281-557-COOL.
ESPN 97.5. coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Monday, Killer G's and the Killer Bees. We're broadcasting live from Space Cadet Bar. Join the guys and then watch the national championship game in Astros versus Rangers on Monday. They also have a special burger beer combo deal that day. Bucket specials, victory beers for the Astros game. What's a victory beer, you ask? If you arrive by the third inning and the Astros win, you'll get a free victory beer. Very nice to those, Space Cadet Bar. So make sure you get to Space Cadet on Monday to hang out with us and stay for the Astros and National Championship game. You think that Gallant and George like to be called the Killer G's?
Are you
fans of that?
Probably not.
You don't think so? Brian?
Paul's a guy that really likes his own name and likes it in the title.
That is true.
I would guess they don't love it, but I don't think they would get worked up about it.
I don't know. Which of the two would be more worked up about it?
Paul Gallant.
I would.
I think it's a different type of worked up, though.
Same.
At this point, like, Joe is just giddy to be.
Paul would have a blow up, but then forget about it. Or I'm sorry, that Joe would have a blow up and then forget about it, but Paul would let it simmer for a long time before it actually blew up.
That might be the
case. They have different types of rages.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say. All right, if you had to buy season tickets to one Houston sports team moving forward, which one are you committing to?
Right now, well, see, there's a lot of ways to look at this. Financially, I was thinking about this. Financially, I think the biggest cash cow would be the team with the most games. So now I'm looking at baseball with a team like the Astros, but a lot of those games are dog games.
Yeah, I wasn't really factoring in finances. I was more factoring in, well, obviously the quality of the team, but then also like what sport is best to watch in person? Because sometimes games to me just aren't fun. Sometimes they're more fun to watch on TV.
Well,
than
you actually get a lot better views and things on
exactly.
TV. But I think that from a convenience standpoint, too, no matter whether you have season tickets or not, you're going to be unloading tickets for baseball all the time because you just can't go to that many games or consecutive nights in a row if you have family and commitments and work and things like that. Texans, to me, because of where they're going, and it looks like it's going to be there for a long period of time, and the fact that there's not that many games, I think the value with the NFL is going to be very high for you to enjoy. And when you want to get rid of them, you're not going to have a problem doing it. I think as Astros, as good as they are, Oakland games on a Tuesday and Wednesday night are going to be a little tougher, too. I think the right answer right now for me would be the Texans, because I think that right now you're in total go-for-it mode, and the window's wide open with CJ.
Cougar sports for me. I'm going Cougar sports. Now, the thing with football, like, I don't love going to noon games. You're missing out on the rest of the league. I like Red Zone Channel way too much. I like the rest of the games way too much. You're also probably missing out on all the afternoon games. So I don't love Sunday noon games, but it'd be worth to have the tickets just so you can go to the standalone games, and then maybe you sell off those noon tickets. Rockets is a lot of games. You're looking at 41 games. Now the product is much better now, and you're thinking maybe they can be a playoff team next year. So that would be thrown into the equation. I don't want to go to 81 Astro games. I guess I'll watch every Astro game, but I have zero desire to go to 81 Astro games. That's way too many. I guess I would go Texans here if I had to go a pro team, and I'm probably selling more than half of them.
Ooh,
really?
See, I can't.
Yeah.
See,
you pick the sport with the fewest amount of games, and you're still selling half?
Well, I think it's the bigger higher dollar thing. Like you mentioned, the Astro tickets and stuff. Astro tickets midweek, you're not selling for face value. Like,
they're not.
You're not selling those. Like those are actually gonna be tough to give away. So it's like you don't have 81 opportunities.
Unless you have really good seats.
Even still,
if you have a $300 face value ticket, who's going to buy a Wednesday 7 o'clock $300 face value ticket? I don't know if there's that many. So maybe half of them you're giving away, or you're selling way below face value. Now, if they get to the playoffs, obviously they're way more than face value, but so are the Texans. Like if the Texans are winning, those are always going to be in demand. every single week. So I probably lean Texans there. Plus, it's lower stress, right? Like, if you're selling off half of these tickets, that means you're selling tickets 40 days out of the year. I don't want to do that much work. I don't want to work that hard. Give me eight games
Lazy.
That I can sell. Exactly. Give me eight games that I can sell. I'm really only selling off five or so because I'm going to keep the standalones. So I would go that route, I think.
I think I would actually zig here and go with the Astros. I completely understand you guys' argument with the amount of games that you'd have to either go to or then find a buyer for. But I just look at it really mainly from the aspect of if we agree both teams are going to be pretty good and that's kind of a wash, then I view it from the lens of, like, what sport would I rather watch on TV versus at the park? And I'd rather watch the Astros in person than sometimes the views at a football stadium, unless you have great seats, an NFL huge mm-hmm. NFL stadium like Reliant or I'm sorry NRG, then I don't know, the viewing pleasure to me isn't nearly as good as it is for the Astros.
I'd rather watch Texans, Rockets, Astros all on TV.
I would too, but we're having to pick one, and I'm just saying, like, to me, like, when I'm watching, like, I think there's the sport with the biggest drop off from what you see on TV to what you see in person is the NFL.
I would agree with that.
I think that when there is nothing like when you've got an exciting football, especially with their schedule this year too, with all the good teams coming in too, but like when you are a true fan of that Texans team or an NFL team, I would like to go to, as much as I get your point on wanting to see the other games and the early noon starts and all that, like eight games at home, I want to see every game that team is playing, and there is something to, I think the live experience of NFL football still, just the overall, the ambience, the fans, everybody's so jacked up too, that I think that has a higher value than baseball, obviously, sure. and basketball, because again, the opponent matters. And style of play matters, and sometimes even when you think they're going to blow a team out and it's going to be fun to watch, it sucks.
Look, I'm going NFL too. Like, but you are giving away your whole day. Like, your entire Sunday is done because you're probably going early to tailgate. You're going to be there from noon to 3. It's going to take forever if you leave immediately to get out of the parking lot. How long is your drive home? You're not getting home to about 5-6 o'clock. Like, you're leaving at 8 in the morning, getting home at 6. Like, that's a full commitment.
That's when you get the satellite dish on the Love Bus and you just tailgate for the day.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, 0315, Rocket season tickets. You can see more of the stars of the NBA. I don't watch much NBA. I watch the Rockets, and that's pretty much it. I might turn on a random ESPN TNT game, but not very often. I watch very little of the NBA outside of the Rockets.
More and more, that's a consensus of a lot of people. I talked to a lot of guys that are friends of mine that said, I just can't watch the NBA, or, yeah, there's a few matchups. And a lot of times now in the regular season, no matter what they're trying to do to entice players to play, you can be looking forward to a massive matchup. It's happened a lot this year on a national TV game. And one or two of the best players on the team decide to sit that one out.
I will say, and I'm not even picking the Rockets here, but I will say I've gone to playoff games of all three teams. To me, the most fun atmosphere that I've been to in a playoff game in this city is Rockets games. I think the energy in that building, when the team is really good, when it's late in the second half and people are, you know, screaming defense and getting really into every possession, I haven't found anything in this city as far as playoff atmosphere that beat going to Rockets playoff games.
If you're going to add college there, Fertitta Center is the best ticket in town.
Well, I was looking at it as just pro, but
yeah,
I mean, you certainly can
pro,
work it in.
Yeah, but if you're going that route, I don't think there's a more plus electric building than the Fertitta Center in Houston.
Plus, you have the Big 12 schedule too. Like that, there's that whole schedule is electric just with the opponents and the competition. I don't know, Brian. I mean, look, and I should be biased in the fact that I worked for all the teams when they had those good teams. I mean, being in the building for an Astros playoff game. And this is, again, another one of your guys' little concoctions, I'm sure, that Branham had a whole lot to do with, that I hope you're really pleased with. I think that the Astros, the electricity of an Astros baseball game in a playoff game,
it's
that really
great.
Matters.
Yeah, it's
like,
great.
I think it trumps Rockets home playoff games. I think maybe it's because they went to the World Series. You have to go way back for the championships.
I haven't been to a World Series game. I went to the Chris Burt game, and obviously that was amazing. There was during the T-Mac and McGrady T-Mac and McGrady. T-Mac and Yao years, I went to every playoff game they had. And I don't know, those playoff games, except for the ones where they choked away against the Jazz, were just amazing atmospheres. I nothing topped that for me.
I don't think I've ever seen a World Series win. I've been to the World Series games when they played the Nationals. Whenever we were, I was covering it from Highway to Hell, but they didn't win a game that entire World Series.
No, not a home game. Yeah, all three wins were on the road.
I went to all four of those games, but I mean the crowd is electric. And then you went to like an ALCS whenever Correa had that walk off home run in extras, like that was really cool. And then I think I was there for the Altuve one too when he hit it off of Aroldis, covering it for the other station. Like the playoff baseball is really nice, but like that's not season tickets. Like that, the season tickets you're looking more regular season. If you're talking about a playoff ticket, Minute Maid during the playoffs is really electric. And then I imagine like if the Texans were ever to host an AFC championship game, it'd be insane.
Yeah, I think that's where again, but and you even factor in like the stoppages in play and stuff like that with baseball. You can't sustain it like you can with a team is on a run in basketball or a football team's on a drive or you need a big stop. But I just think that maybe it's because no one's seen it yet. But I think that NFL experience when you're in a playoff game or a major game when it all matters, I think that is so underrated in terms of just how impactful as a fan that can be.
713-780-ESPN. Top five biggest threats to the Chiefs in the AFC. Who are your top five? Where do the Texans stack up? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word from a good friend, Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business at the Neograft procedure. If you don't know what it is, but you've been losing your hair, you need to find out. And Doc Linville right now, for listeners of ESPN 97.5, has had this longstanding deal he continues to do. If you go to 975hair.com, you can sign up for an appointment with Doc and his staff. And also on the website, find out all the information you need about the NeoGraft and how great it can be for you, too. I say, too, because I did it. I did the NeoGraft procedure after Doc filled me in about it. I could not be happier with the results. I got my hair in front back at my hairline. My forehead had become an 8-head. I thought that I was going to be getting real close to the days of just shaving it all off. I didn't want to do the gimmicky stuff, the sprays and the foams and the creams. The fact is that once I did the procedure, after he explained it to me, it all made sense. The fact that there was very low risk in that 95 to 99% of the follicles that he's going to move are going to stay and grow and be with you for the rest of your life made that even more of a no-brainer for me. And then the biggest thing, what he explained, was he's getting the follicles and taking them from the sides and the back of your head where genetically you're never going to lose your hair. I did not know that. Once that all made sense and it wasn't a gimmick and it wasn't just taking a big risk, I was all in. And boy, am I glad I was, because it is a true game changer. You get your confidence back because you get your hair back because you like the way you look. Check them out today. Go to 975hair.com. Sign up for that appointment. Tell them I sent you by.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right, everybody's saying after this trade for Stephon Diggs that the Houston Texans are Super Bowl contenders. I mean, I said it. I said that they're Super Bowl contenders. Who are your top five threats to dethrone the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC? We each have our own five. Blankers, why don't you lead us off? You can go reverse order or regular order. I don't care.
What do you mean reverse order? Like, oh, okay, 5-1 or 1-5. Look, I think the number one contender to knock the Chiefs off is the Baltimore Ravens, because they had the best record in the regular season, and because you lost to them twice, that means you can get there, but you're not there yet. But if I just went of the top five teams to knock off the Chiefs, I would say it's the Ravens, the Texans, the Bengals, the Jets,
ooh,
and the Bills.
Did you copy my list?
I did not have. I haven't seen your list.
No, I actually kept the list private, so you wouldn't see it.
Yep.
I think that we have the same five. What was your top three again?
You had Buffalo in yours?
They're fifth.
Really?
I mean, they're in yours.
Yeah, no, but you're not very big on Josh Allen, and I have been more of a Josh Allen supporter.
Well, I think there's a bit of a drop off there. You're right. I don't believe in Josh Allen. I think he's a turnover machine. Me and Stephon Diggs, we're in agreement there. There's a reason Stephon Diggs didn't like Josh Allen. He's a turnover prone machine. I don't like Josh Allen because he's a turnover prone machine. That's why Diggs was disgruntled. Who did you have? Texans or Bengals too?
I had Texans 2, Bengals 3.
It's the exact same top five. This is
and obviously you're right. I think it's fluid to say that there's an argument to be made for the Bengals because Joe Burrow can beat the Chiefs. He's proven that. He can beat the Bills. He's got to be healthy, obviously, and I hope those receivers stay together. But I think you know what the offense is going to bring to the table for the Texans, whereas there's still questions with Cincinnati. But yeah, I think the Texans are right there knocking on the door.
I think you've hacked my computer. I think you were the one who stole my Panda Express.
I did, because I live on that.
I think that's what happened here.
That is an interesting update to that story.
Yeah. Yeah, Panda Express didn't reimburse me my Panda points. Can you believe that?
I can't either. Actually, you know, I was going to go to Panda Express today for lunch, but I instead went to Whataburger because, you know, screw Panda Express. I will not eat there until you get your points back.
I told the person at Panda Express today. I emailed them today because they emailed me, and they said, hey, we're not going to be able to do that.
So they at least
whatever.
Responded to you, unlike Spotrac.
Yeah, they responded to me. Let me pull up the email here real quick. This guy named Jesse. I said, thank you, Jesse. I've changed the password. I've contacted my bank. How about the Panda points they stole? Jesse responded, thanks for your kind reply. You're welcome. But for the points issue, we're unable to restore the points redeemed by the hacker. And they capitalized the H in hacker, which made me very uncomfortable. It's like they have a personal relationship with the hacker.
Oh,
I think Panda Express
so
might be in cahoots with the hacker. Yeah, and then said, please let us know if there's anything more we can do. And I said, that's unfortunate. This will force me to never eat a Panda Express again.
I mean, yeah, they can do more. They can give you your points back.
I'm out. Yeah, they can do more. There's $11 worth of points.
Is this one of those situations where the receipt at the bottom from purchase to purchase shows you your updated points?
Yeah.
So it's in the app now. That's 2024.
Okay. Take a few more before 6 o'clock. That'd be great. I think the biggest thing is that if there's a way to trace back what the last recorded points were at.
Right.
And you want to maintain, with someone that frequents your establishment. You would think you want to make right by that. You don't have to publicize it for the whole free world,
right.
But you should probably want to make that one right.
No, I'm fighting back. I told him that I'm done eating here. I tweeted about it. I might even TikTok about it. That shows you that I'm really angry about it. I might even TikTok about
this
it.
This is the legend of DirecTV, where they say that if you ever have an issue with DirecTV, they don't care until you threaten to never go to drop the service and go somewhere else, and then suddenly the floodgates open.
Oh yeah, I had that experience way back in the day with I think at the time it was called UVerse, because they didn't have the Astros way back, and I told them I was going to switch, and all of a sudden they were willing to cut my bill in half.
What was weird about the I tweeted about it. I said, "Hey, Panda Express stole my Panda points." Like 18 bots on Twitter, they all like tweeted at me. And like said that at Myla something will solve the issue, and to give her a call on the WhatsApp, which is pretty terrifying. There was like 20 of these. Like, I'm a little scared of this Myla person, and I have no idea who this Myla person
maybe
is.
Maybe it's a part of the hack.
Should we call the WhatsApp? Can you call the WhatsApp from the phone in the studio?
I'm not man.
Can we do? I'm not calling it from my cell phone.
No, I would. No, well, I think your phone still might be hacked.
Well, the other thing that's always when you put, like, if you tag DirecTV in a tweet, almost instantly you will be hit up with, direct message you and try and work on this?
This is WhatsApp thing. Call this number on the WhatsApp. You know one thing I will not be doing? Calling this number on the WhatsApp. Now, Brian, if you would like to, I'd be very curious to see where it goes. It might make for some really good radio. It might. Think about it.
Yeah.
Think about it, Brian.
Okay.
You know what? Think about it over the weekend.
Yeah,
make the decision.
Let's save this for Monday.
Maybe talk to the bosses. See if we can try to do this on the air. 0452 Panda Express's top five worst Chinese. You should thank the hacker.
Oh, no. Bad take, man. Their orange chicken's elite.
He also capitalized hacker. You got to stop capitalizing hacker. Now it acts like you have it feels like you have a personal relationship with the hacker whenever you're capitalizing the H in hacker.
Hacker isn't their first name.
No, it's not. Exactly. I'm uncomfortable by this. My top five is the same as yours, Blankers. Bills 5, Jets 4, Bengals 3, Texans 2, Ravens 1. What do you got, Brian?
I've got a little bit of a difference here. I don't have the Bills in my top five. I've got Dolphins 5, Jets 4, Texans 3, Bengals 2, Ravens 1.
So the only difference that any of us have is Dolphins.
Dolphins versus Bills. Bills.
And yeah, he has – Brian has Bengals too.
Yeah, but I meant the team.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, I just believe in I think we had this conversation last week. I think people have just forgotten how close – I mean, not even how close the Bengals were with Joe Burrow at his best. I mean, they beat Kansas City at Arrowhead in the AFC Championship game. So I think the Burrows – or the Burrows – the Bengals are still that team.
I'm curious to see what they do with Higgins, though. Like, I don't think they're as good around him if they don't have Higgins.
Sure, that would change. That would. I would drop them down from 2 to maybe 4 if they lost Higgins, but I still think they're top 5.
And maybe we shouldn't be acting like he won't be there. Like, I know he's demanded trade. He doesn't feel like he's going to be there, but he's currently on their roster.
I think at this point, well, there's still some time, but I think if he shows up for camp, then he's going to take his big money for 1 year and then be able to walk away. If he holds out, then maybe there's more of a chance that he's not there and they just feel like they got to trade him.
I would agree with that 100%. Who do you have faith in more, Josh Allen or Tua?
I would go with Tua just because of his weapons.
See, I was going to say that, but then I was thinking about the fact that now that they have some draft capital, there's a chance that they try and do some things to get two young receivers in the draft. Now, they're young. I don't know if they're going to be able to perform.
Where they're picking, though, they're not going to get one of those elite guys this year. Like, they're going to miss out on Neighbors and Adunze and Marvin Harrison Jr. Maybe they end up with, like, a Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they get the year one, like, 2024 difference maker.
It really comes down to a lesser quarterback with better receivers and a better quarterback with really lesser receivers at this point, depending on which side you go. I guess overall, I'm going to say that all Tua's got to do is put it in the area code of the guys when they're as fast as the Cheetah and Watt. I'd take Miami, probably.
So you're going Miami 5 now? Brian talked you into Miami 5 instead
of
Buffalo?
No, but if I'm just comparing those two teams, no. I still think Buffalo's going to do some things before they get to camp. But
the Tua-non side of this. Come on.
Yeah, I can't. I'm going to stick with my list.
See, I don't like Josh Allen, as y'all know.
Really?
But I have Josh Allen ahead of Tua, though. I trust Tua less than Josh Allen.
For sure.
So you don't count much for the wide receiver difference? Because who does Allen have to throw to right now other than Dalton? Not Dalton Kincaid.
Dalton Kincaid is there.
Buffalo, yeah, right?
Yeah. You're right. Sorry.
James Cook, too. Ed Oliver's there. Go Cougs. I think Allen's a bit quarterback-proof or receiver-proof. Like, I don't think he needs top-shelf receivers to be really, really good. Same thing with Lamar Jackson. Same thing with Patrick Mahomes. I don't think those guys need top-level receiver play to put up huge numbers. The thing with Josh Allen and what makes him different than Mahomes and Lamar to a lesser extent than Mahomes is that Allen will lose a game for you. Allen will throw 3 interceptions in a game. But the very next week, Allen's going to go nuts, have 340 total yards. He's going to put up 4 total touchdowns and he'll win a game by himself. My content with Josh Allen's, I don't think he can put together 3-4 straight games against playoff competition teams to win a Super Bowl. I think he can beat any team once. Tua, I think, has incredible limitations. I don't think Tua has a very big arm. I think Tua is very mistake prone. I think Tua is a very mediocre quarterback.
Yeah, to me, it's just the fact that Josh Allen with his legs has won. It was a playoff game, too, where he absolutely can beat you. You're right. He can beat himself, and he can do a lot of negatives for the team. But he's been in a lot of big games where when he has to perform at a high level, he's also capable of doing that. I just think Tua has been made better and more valuable by having unbelievable weapons around him.
The weapons that Tua has are far better. There's no argument there. But look at those weapons whenever they played Kansas City. Now, that game was like in an ice storm, though.
Yeah, the weather really mattered there.
Yeah. But I think Allen suits that game better. Like, Allen's better suited in that game than Tua because Allen can do more dynamic things. 713-780-ESPN, this texter says that this happened with him at Jersey Mike's, and Jersey Mike's gave him his points back. What a company. What a company, Jersey Mike's. Panda, on the other hand, not so much. You know what I'm going to start doing more? Eating at Jersey Mike's. That way I know my points can be trusted there.
The big thing is that there are certain companies that really like are so dedicated to customer service that it matters. And that's one of them. If you hear some of a company like that, you should want to do your business there.
There's $11 in those points, you know? It's the principle. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Hunter Brown on the mound tonight, game one of a 4-game series in Arlington. Also, the car wreck of the day every Friday. All the mean things that you say to us throughout the week. Mean text with the B's, 713-780-3776 on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word from my friends at X-Golf. I talked to Chris, the owner, before I got on the air and found out there's only 4 simulators still available for the Sunday of the Masters. It is an unbelievable experience. You can have your own bay for 5 hours, from 3 o'clock to 8 o'clock during the final round of the Masters. You can have all the people you want there. You can eat all the food like they serve at the Masters. The TVs are all going to be showing the Masters. And you guys can have an unbelievable experience for just a couple of $100. If you're a golfer, and then you could also be in a part of a scramble amongst all the people that have rented out a bay, and you could win either a custom-fit wedge or a custom-fit driver. Phenomenal prizes for a phenomenal day on one of the best sports viewing days of the year. Also, they've got golf leagues starting up on Mondays and Wednesday nights. You can get into a singles league and play 18 holes, or a scramble two-man league where you can win prizes, compete against others, and have a great time. The two-man is a 9-hole scramble, and the individual play is for 18 holes. It's phenomenal. And if you haven't been to X Golf in Katy and you're a golfer, you really need to, because you go there once, you're going to be there a million times. Because of the fact that if the weather's bad and you can't make your tee time, well, you got a place that you can play anyway, no matter what the weather is. You want to hit some balls at night, you can get to X Golf, play your own golf ball that you play on the course, work on every shot, and you can calculate everything because it's all charted for you. It's going to tell you every shot's distance, direction, spin, and otherwise. And the best and most accurate putting simulators I've ever seen. Check out X-Golf Katy and tell them I sent you by, because it is an unbelievable place. If you're a golf fan, it's phenomenal. If you're a sports fan and want a sports bar, it's great too. Great food, great beverage. X-Golf Katy.
ESPN 97.5. Locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN at 92.5. Hunter Brown on the mound tonight for the Houston Astros, going up against Cody Bradford of the Texas Rangers. Bradford's pitching one game this year, 3.60 ERA in 5 innings, picked up the win. Hunter Brown, as we know, went 4 1/3 in his first start. Didn't give up a run, which was fine. Four innings, not 4 1/3. Struck out 5 in those 4 innings. What are you expecting from Hunter Brown tonight, Blankers?
I'm expecting him. I was going to ask you guys a follow-up to that, too. I'm expecting him to go out and give you, I think he's going to give up a couple runs. I mean, that's a good offensive ball club. I'm going to say that he's going to give up 3 runs in 6 innings.
Take it. I think that's what we're going to do from now on. You're going to throw out a number.
I would take
it or leave
it. Yeah.
I'll take it. I'll take it. That'd be fine.
Now, do they continue their dominance in Arlington?
Sure.
Because the follow-up question to that is there going to be any retaliation for everything that went down in the playoff?
That's a good question. I hadn't thought about that.
I can see, I mean, after what would happen with Adolis Garcia, hell, even Phil Maton from beyond the Astros getting in the act last week, I could see an Astro getting plunked.
Yeah, I could too.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, I'm curious about that because a lot of the rumbling was when Maton did hit him. And then Young got hit, and he's out now for a while, right? He broke his hand?
Yeah, he broke his
wrist.
Yeah,
I don't remember how long he's out,
wrist?
But it is for a while.
Well, he said the initial timeline was 6 to 8, and then they said they found more whenever they went in there, and it's going to be like closer to 10 weeks. Now, they have that prospect they called up that's probably going to be just as good, if not better. I'm jealous of the Rangers farm system. They're really, really good. Rangers lineup out, or the Astros lineup out, Altuve, Yordan Tucker, Yordan DHing, Bregman, Yiner, Chaz, Abreu, Peña, Myers. So Abreu moves down to the 7th spot.
Good.
So, good. Maybe closer and closer to Brandon Belt as a Houston Astro.
Yeah, at least closer to getting him out of the more at-bats and less ability to come through.
Yeah. There's another show segment for next week. When do the Astros pull the plug on Jose Abreu? We'll discuss next week on the Killer Bees. Which, by the way, Monday, don't forget to join us out at Space Cadet Bar. Killer G's, Gallant George will be there. We'll be there all day. Astros national championship game. If you get there by the third inning, Astros win. Space Cadet Bar will even get you a free victory beer. You can't beat that. All right, let's get to our car wreck of the day every Friday. All the mean things that you said to us throughout the week. Really mean, heinous, heinous things. We've been doing the Killer Bee Fight Club tournament here, Blinkers, over the last few weeks during the March Madness. Lopez would whoop Branham's bad word. Come on, he's a giant bad word. Why give me some mean?
Wait, you're the giant bad word, or Lopez is the giant bad word?
I am. Me. Yeah, they're not going to say that Lopez would whoop Branham's bad word. Come on, he's a giant bad word.
He could be saying Lopez is a bear. He's an animal. I know what the bad word is.
Y'all don't know what the bad word
right.
is.
Right, but like, I mean, have you ever seen Pulp Fiction? Lopez could be a bad mother. I'm not going to finish
Bleeper.
The sentence. Yeah. So that could be the bad word.
Yeah, I guess the fact that I know the word.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Shaft, shut your mouth.
Well, exactly. It's a word that's very mean towards me. So it's not a bad word directed at Lopez.
I get the gist of what the word is now.
Yeah, not great. This is the day that Austin was filling in for Brian, and I think that he didn't put up Blanker's mic in time for the
oh, right.
No, he put up the wrong. He brought up the wrong mic. Because you could hear him, but it was just out in the distance.
Yep.
It was like a parabolic mic.
It was like you're leaning off the mic.
Yep.
Yeah, it wasn't his normal mic. It was like a parabolic mic that was getting the effects from the studio. That mic that we have. Aggie Matt said, Austin for the win. Didn't have to hear what up H-Town.
Oh, that's nice.
Aggie Matt's one of my biggest fans.
He said ha-ha.
I can tell.
Yeah.
I think the ha-ha meant he was joking.
I love that guy.
Right? Doesn't the ha-ha at the end mean he's just kidding?
Probably.
Yeah, I think.
Wait, I think Aggie Matt was out at the remote at Nick's place last week or 2 weeks ago,
was
right?
He didn't introduce himself to me.
Well, I know there was an Aggies fan that came up and talked a lot to us. Okay. I thought it was Aggie Matt, maybe not.
Oh, I think it was Lone Ranger.
Maybe. Okay.
Yeah, because he stayed after.
There was a guy in an Aggie shirt that was talking
it was Lone
to
Ranger.
Us. Okay, okay.
I agree with the other. Did he go to college at A&M though?
Lone
that is
did.
The question.
Yeah, I don't know if Aggie Matt.
The guy
did.
In the Aggie shirt.
Oh, that is Lone Ranger.
And by the way, Austin is texting me. He says he owns that mistake by not having Blanker's microphone up. So,
what else can he do?
Nothing. But hey, credit to being a man about it, though.
It was a parabolic mic. This texter said, "I agree with the other texter regarding the wheelhouse. Your show is much better with an appropriate pronunciation of the English language." Blankers would disagree at times. Brad Kellner had an obnoxious interpretation of phonics and how words were pronounced.
Like
sounded terrible
stadium?
On radio. Kudos on the great show, Killer Bees.
Prospect.
How long has the wheelhouse been dead? It's been like 9 months.
Last July.
So almost a year. I mean,
yeah, it was last July.
So 10 months or so?
Yeah, about 10 months.
They're still catching strays 10 months later. Stop stinting in your insults to the wheelhouse. We're not going to read them on the air. We're not going to read your wheelhouse insults on the air. 713-780-3776.
Did someone tell us the other day that the wheelhouse was better than us?
Oh, we get that all the time.
Yeah.
We get that all the time. Xron on the Twitch. Oh, fun. It's the BMAC show with special guests Branham and Blinkers.
I barely talked today.
You didn't, I don't think it was today. That he
yeah,
said
okay, that's fair.
You didn't talk at all, really, today.
Yeah, not much.
I enjoy the Blinkers part. I don't know if he did that intentionally.
Oh, he said Blinkers?
He said Blinkers. Oh. It was probably like a Siri, maybe. But it definitely wasn't a typo, because the I and the A are on polar opposite sides of the keyboard.
Well, unless it's voice texting.
Can you do that on Twitch?
Yeah, you can get Twitch on your phone.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the.
I can voice text a tweet in the car.
Can you Twitch it though? I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Plus, you have a different phone than I do. I don't know how different it is. Last time I was sports sad is when Joe George became sports radio personality. Such a bum.
Wow.
Joe takes a lot of
shots Junior?
On our show. It didn't say. No, this was a text.
Oh.
This was a texture. This is whenever we were sports sad earlier this week.
Uh-huh.
And then he said he was sports sad because Joe became a sports radio personality.
Junior Bronco would be a guy that wouldn't be afraid to text that as well.
Yeah. King of Twitch, BMAC talks, and my clock stop.
I think we read that one last week.
Did y'all do these last these? Week?
No, we didn't do it last week. We've done it for a couple weeks.
Okay, you're
I've
right.
actually so enjoyed
maybe
my
just,
last segment of Friday.
Stole in the Google Doc. Because we haven't used it. That's probably what it was.
Do you get into this Google Doc?
Yeah, I look at it occasionally.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you were open to it. Budo on the Twitch. Let's be honest. Joel's probably listening to 610.
I am?
Yeah, I don't know what that meant. If Branham beats anyone in this bracket, then it's comical. He's a giant. Bad word. I'm taking a lot of shots in this Killer Bees bracket. A lot of shots in this Killer Bees bracket. People don't realize I can scrap.
I took one from Bajani, evidently, because I didn't win.
Yeah, but that wasn't really an insult. You just lost a vote. That's not that big a deal.
You know what I mean? You know how I like losing.
All right, it's going to do it. You said you didn't care.
But
am I catching you in a
lie? But I'm still competitive on everything. You know this.
Oh, all right. All right, it's going to do it for us. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in all week. Thanks to Brian for doing – he worked pretty hard today. We'll give him some hard work. Good work, Brian, on all your hard work. He's Blank. I'm Brandon. We'll talk to you next week, Houston. Hall of Fame ahead of WrestleMania weekend coming up at 8 o'clock tonight. Booker T, Brad Gilmore. Talk to you Monday, Houston. Goodbye.